Please be seated. So with regards to the reflections for this morning, I recognize that between last week and this morning, they are going to be heavy reflections. Today's reflections are going to address struggle and conflict in the midst of grief and loss. In much as prayer, these are deeply personal topics. My prayer and my hope is that I have treated them with humility and respect and an ever-evolving understanding. If I get something wrong, I ask for forgiveness and grace. With that, will you please pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So turn on the TV or open up our news feeds, wherever we get our news, and we hear stories of those around us suffering, hurting, and at a loss for words because of the anger felt at what is going on in the world. Those of us watching are left standing by, caught with the fire of holy anger at the suffering, wondering what is happening and what is causing this. That ache that we feel as we take a moment and step back when we have the privilege to do so. We then recognize that we are onlookers and observers, and that ache that we feel is barely an iota of what those familiar or not are actually experiencing. Because we're on the outside looking in. Because we don't have to struggle with the day-to-day realities that others may be facing and that others are facing. For many of us, we get to retreat because we have the privilege of removing ourselves because those challenges of the world don't directly affect us. We get to look at the big picture when we have the opportunity to step back. Jesus, in his humanity, did not. His disciples didn't have that luxury either. And Jesus, while he may have had a sense of what the big picture was, he didn't like it. He gets upset with his disciples for not being able to stay awake even for an hour with him. And he doesn't like what awaits. Jesus experiences the suffering of humankind at the hands of an unjust political and religious authority, the unjust world that seeks to negate and put down rather than raise up and build. And Jesus prays, literally throwing himself on the ground over and over again. If we believe Jesus has any ounce of divinity, he leans into it, petitioning God that he might be spared from all of this. And perhaps in this struggle, Jesus is actually challenging God or even calling God out for what he is feeling, for the suffering that he will be enduring. God, who has the privilege of being God, big and outside of reality, time and space, is being challenged to experience human suffering. God is being challenged to experience humanity. God is being challenged to experience creation in a visceral way, unlike any we have read or I have read in the scriptures before this moment. It's the struggle of human divine, the struggle of knowing, but of knowing how much. It's this struggle of the eternally loving God and yet the injustice of a God who would allow their child to suffer on the cross. I can only speak for myself when I say that I believe God is one who acts with reason and purpose and intention, even when I don't always understand why. And what does Jesus do? In that moment, he is praying in the garden. He asks his friends to stay awake with him. He asks those who say that they are there for him to share in the tired, achy feeling he has in the pit of his stomach. That grief we feel when something hasn't happened yet, but we know it will soon. You know that feeling that I'm talking about. His friends can't even stay awake with him. Maybe his disciples recognize their own powerlessness in the situation, or maybe they give in to the fact, as we heard in the text, that they are too tired and they let their eyelids fall. Meanwhile, Jesus is just looking for someone to sit and be present while he awaits what is to come. Thinking about the hymn, "There's a Wideness in God's Mercy," which was the hymn that was running through my heart this week, and not the one we had to switch it from. The song speaks of this divine sense of empathy that goes beyond our understanding. It talks about how we aren't capable of fully knowing the extent to which God feels the suffering of humankind, the extent to which God feels our hurts. It speaks to this ideal that we hold that even in the midst of the worst of life, that God is somehow in somewhere present, staying awake with us. Reviewing that scene in the garden, we have a bird's eye view because of the fact that we have the whole story. We get to see that resurrection will happen. We get to see the ascension. We get to see the Pentecost and the birth of the church, because with this whole story in hand, we stand on the outside looking in. The privilege of being able to see how this story is going to play out. What we don't do is stay awake with our sibling in that moment who asks us to. Why? Because we're tired? Because maybe it's uncomfortable to share that same space. It stretches us beyond our limits and our feelings of capability. Perhaps we don't know what we will say. We're worried about we'll say the wrong thing, and that's going to be super awkward. What we see in the text is that Jesus isn't asking us to answer or provide any answers. Jesus isn't asking us to say the right things that will magically fix it and make everything better. What Jesus is doing is inviting us into the space where he is. He is asking us to be present with him in those moments, as he has been present with all of those leading up to this moment. And all he says is, "Will you stay awake with me?" As if to say what we sang in our hymn last week, "Come be with me. I need you to survive."